The Eric Stewart Show, pointing you home on WMAL.
In the next two decades, individuals aged 65 and older will come to represent one of every five U.S. citizens, and more importantly, control more than half of all discretionary income. Their demographic and economic influence will extend to the farthest reaches of American society. From entertainment to travel, food, retail, technology, and housing, by force of sheer volume, the young adults who in 1968 thought that they would change the world by 2028 actually will. That was written by Andrew Carl, who's an award-winning professor, and he's the executive in residence and founding director of the program in senior housing administration at George Mason University in Fairfax, Virginia. I'm thrilled to have Andrew on the show. Good morning, Andrew.
Good morning, Eric. Good to be here.
It's my pleasure. And Andrew, I found out about you actually by virtue of you downloading the Right Sizing Guide. I was thrilled to see you download it, and I appreciate your interest in what I do. I know you were a hospital CEO and COO and the director of strategic planning and marketing for a vertically integrated healthcare system. In addition to your Mason program, I understand you've received accolades nationally and internationally, really defining this new category of senior housing. So, having said all that, I've got numerous questions for you. So,
okay.
Number one is the demographic, by the way, that you're speaking with, the majority of the listeners from 7 to 8 on a Sunday morning happen to be 55 to 85. So you're right on target. Tell us what we can expect, especially as current owners of real estate over the next 10 to 15 years and then wanting to make a transition. Is the current continuing care retirement community model going to be the same 15 years from now? What are the changes we're probably going to see?
Yeah, no, and by the way, I'm one of those people right in that segment. So there's 80 million of us, almost 80 million of us. So there's a lot of us out there, and I think that we're really redefining not only retirement, but senior housing in a lot of ways. We've learned a lot, certainly from watching our parents. One of the things we learned was a worldwide study that showed that it was the United States that invented the whole concept of the golden years. And one of the things we learned is that it lasted exactly one generation. And then, as it turns out, retiring to a rocking chair on a porch isn't all it's cracked up to be.
Mm-hmm.
So we learned that either from watching our parents or, frankly, our parents, in a lot of cases, told us themselves, hey, you know what, there's got to be more to retirement than just quitting your job and sitting on a porch. And so I think the trends for us are much more the other direction. We're really looking for three things in our retirements. We're looking for active, we're looking for intellectually stimulating, and maybe more importantly than both of those, we're looking for intergenerational retirement environments. We really don't have much interest in retiring to what I call an elderly island. And unfortunately, we've built a whole lot of elderly island, very nice, beautiful retirement communities in this country, but unfortunately where we've kind of separated the residents from the rest of society. So we really want to be more integrated into the world that we come from, not leave it. And then from there, we can break it down into, many, many different flavors that we can talk about, or niche communities, or communities based on our cultures or our interests or our orientations.
So continuing care retirement communities, as I know it nationally, are communities of 300, 400, 200, 1,200, 1,800, or like Riderwood, the largest one in our country, is 2,500 individuals,
right?
Almost like a city in itself. So what you're saying is what John Erickson's vision was, we're probably not going to see that continue, and that's because that's not really where we want to be when we're getting older.
Well, first of all, John Erickson deserves a lot of credit because, for decades, our only choice was either a nursing home or staying home and hoping that our adult children, typically a daughter or a daughter-in-law, could take care of us. So there are a lot of people in senior housing who deserve a lot of credit for putting, in effect, more flavors on the shelf. And continuing care retirement communities were certainly a better option, as were any number of assisted living communities.
Mm-hmm.
The problem with that is, or the opportunity with that is to take it even further. So those were better choices for us. But now we want even more choices than that. And in particular, we want those choices to not just be beautiful buildings that are designed to meet our needs, but we want them to be more integrated into the rest of the world. And that really is something that's going to be, I think, synonymous with baby boomers in particular. We really don't want to be on these elderly islands, you know, even if they're beautiful with the baby grand piano and the big brass chandelier and the grand staircase. But, you know, a bird in a gilded cage is still in a cage.
Mm-hmm.
So I think more than anything, we are starting to see, and even with Ericsson and some of the other companies now, they're moving these retirement communities more into the mainstream, more into urban areas, more into intergenerational markets. And yeah, we will see. They may still be CCRCs, but they'll be repositioned more away from, you know, kind of out in the countryside, more into urban environments.
Right. Well, what's interesting is if you listen to last week's show, segment 5 of last week's show, I'm doing a 10-part series called Senior Moments. You probably haven't heard it, but I encourage you to listen to it. It is a 10-part vignette covering a couple and her mom and his dad and their sell of their real estate and moving into retirement. What does a retirement community look like? And we kind of take your CCRC, Continuing Care Retirement Community, and put it on steroids in the radio show. And it's all tongue-in-cheek, a lot of fun.
Right.
But the name of the community is Versailles Meadows, that they go to visit. And it's, you know, it's got, you know, private yacht and, you know, cabanas and boys to massage your feet and, you know, the whole, it's like to the nth degree of what you could possibly want. The elderly island, as you say, it is an age exclusive community. Now, you take a place like Ingleside, for instance, in King Farm in Rockville. This is a vertical retirement community. It's located right in the heart of Rockville, and it happens to be all vertical, but it's surrounded by townhouses, condominiums, and single-family houses, so it's not isolated in the same sense, right? And I think that's what you're speaking to.
Yeah, and I think it's really two things. First of all, it's making sure that we don't separate our seniors from the rest of the world. Again, our generation just isn't going to tolerate that.
Mm-hmm.
We're not going to accept that. And then the second thing is putting the more active and intellectually stimulating and specific niche interest types of products on the market. So breaking it down for us. So here's the example I use. You know, when we grew up almost for 100 years, actually, there was only one kind of Coke, Coca-Cola, and they came out with Diet Coke, I think, in 1985, 1986, which coincidentally was the first year that the baby boomers were turning 40 and getting overweight. But, you know, what do we see today? We see a dozen different flavors of Coke, Coke with lemon, Coke with lime, Coke with vanilla. You know, why is that? It's because when you have 80 million consumers, there's enough people who like Coke with lemon and enough people who like Coke with lime to warrant both those products being on the shelf. So what we're going to see in senior housing moving forward is not just integrating them more back into the rest of society, but really specific niches.
Mm-hmm.
So, for example, a really big one that I work on is not a CCRC, but it's what I call a UBRC, a university-based retirement community.
Mm.
So essentially a retirement community that is near or on campus and integrated in with the young people all around and programs and access to the sporting events and the music venues, but also to access to young people doing internships, moving back and forth, audit for seniors to take classes.
Mm-hmm.
So that's what we're talking about in terms of, you know, a whole different kind of CCRC to the point where it's its own unique model, or a UBRC. Remember, baby boomers are the most highly educated demographic in history.
Right.
A lot of us went to college.
Hey,
the ability to go retire back to our alma mater is very appealing to us.
Right. I got to take a quick break. I want to bring you back in the show a little bit later to continue this conversation. Stuart Rosenthal coming up just in a few moments, Senior Moments, and a little bit later, Andrew Carl will rejoin us to continue this conversation. I'll be right back with more.